ahead and call this February 24th regular session meeting to order. Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creach?
Here.
Commissioner Day?
Here.
Commissioner Robertson?
Here. Well, I'll rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a prayer from Reverend Wise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray. Most Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of life. We thank you for another opportunity to gather as citizens. Help us, Lord God. Know, guard our words, Lord God. Help us guard our mouths. Lord, help us hear twice as much as Lord God, that we speak. Let us be patient with one another as you are patient with us. Let us forgive one another as you forgive us. But most of all, Lord God, help us speak truth to one another. And let us hear each other clearly. But also, most of all, Father God, we pray for the truth to come out and then respond justly to the truth. Help us walk this day as your service. We ask this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Morris. I will open up for public comments at this time. Public comments.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jerry Wick. I live at 227 Vanessa Drive, West Elk. I want to address a couple of things here. We'll try to make it quick. At the kickoff meeting on January 22nd, Rod, you brought up the fact that you still think the commissioners should reach out to West Elk about sewage. And I have a problem with that. And I mean, we're on the opposite sides of the battlefield here because I understand you want to keep the bid. Yes.
We have decided to pursue that. So just in case that.
Okay. All right. Because I understand they were going to try to keep the bid down, but as a homeowner affected by this sewer district 6, I want that to come in as high as possible because the feasibility. On this Miami Valley regional planning thing that came in 2015, the commissioner said that they didn't know anything about it until it hit the commissioner's meeting. And on page 10 of that, it says in 2014, the Miami Valley Regional Planning Commission received a grant sponsored by the Ohio EPA to evaluate and provide wastewater collection and treatment alternatives to several communities within the Ohio County region. The Provo County Commissioner is selected to participate in the study, identifying the Glenwood area. This is the report of that commitment. Now, I'm led to believe there that you guys were in contact with them in 2014.
Yeah, that's when the letter came.
We got the findings in order in 2014.
So what surprise was in 2015, this whole report? Something out of that.
I'm not.
So 2014, that's when I was a trustee. That's and the commission got the letter, and as a trustee, I was dealing with it. I got elected in 14, started in 15, and that's when the rubber met the road. So we got the letter in 14, but didn't take any action until 15. So it's just a play on words or something, because 14 is when the letter came, 15 is when the action started being taken.
Yeah.
It's not there's no issues there.
Okay, so, the fact that in our discussion, like last year, when I said that this study did not include the treatment plant, and Commissioner Day said it did, but on page 43, they were talking about that, and it says, regionalized with adjacent community, transport wastewater to West Alexandria. So this feasibility plan never at one time talked about building a treatment plant. It was always going to West Alexandria.
No, that's not correct.
Well, Chris, I've read read this thing cover to back. There's nothing in here about building a treatment plant. In this plant, it said we had to provide treatment.
Are you reading the IBI report, or are you reading the...
It's the IBI report, I believe.
Yeah.
The IBI report was very generic.
Yeah.
This right here.
Mm-hmm.
So what report do I need to get where there was discussions about building a treatment plant in Lindbergh?
That'd be the that'd be the initial CDM report.
CDM strength report,
okay.
Original.
That you have to understand on that too. We had very little input on that. This was basically EPA gave a grant to Miami Valley Regional, which they award to the IBI group. They really had we had very little input on that.
Okay. Well, according to on page 43, it was you as the acting, you were the administrator of Waste Treatment Plant in West Elliott. You gave them input on this stuff. That's on page 43.
They called and asked where we were at. I explained the situation West Elliott was in. It's not nice.
Well, and I may be looking at this all wrong, Chris. If I am, I apologize. But it looks like to me that if you had input on this, and as this thing snowballed, I believe you should have recused yourself in any discussions concerning Sewer District 6, because to me it appears there's a conflict in this. Because you had input.
All I gave them were facts.
Well, on the surface, it's...
The facts don't change of where everything was at, what data that they were asking about, capacity and this and that. That doesn't change. I mean, I had no bias one way or the other. All they were asking for where the capacities were, what type of treatment, this and that, and I told them basically what we had at West Elliott at the time, yes.
Have you relayed that to CDM about not pursuing sending the sewage to West Elliott?
We discussed it. Has it been relayed? We discussed it with our attorney, and I do believe that he probably will.
Well, you know, the two gentlemen over here on that kickoff meeting. Go ahead.
And just you're touching the microphone, making.
I'm sorry.
It makes sense.
They made the statement that they would respond to emails because there's a history of them missing deadlines.
Yeah, right to us.
Okay.
Right.
I sent an email 2 weeks ago.
Well, that's the we will be checking to make sure they respond to our emails.
Okay.
If you have a question, you'll need to come to us to ask it. Because they are our vendor and they report to us.
Okay. So let me ask you then,
okay.
And you can ask them.
Okay.
I mentioned this before. Is there going to be an environmental impact study on this Sewer District 6?
We will ask that.
Because as
I
said
think
before,
so.
As I said before, if they come back and tell you there's got to be an environmental impact study after sewage flowing through my neighborhood for 11 years, that's when you file a lawsuit.
Okay. We will ask that.
I mean, I'm serious.
I agree.
You know, it's time to take the gloves off because, I mean, nobody wants to do anything. You know, Austin Cole and I and Rachel Vanderhaar stood out on that manhole cover where the stench took your breath. I filed a complaint with the health department and told them that they're dumping their allowed sewage to be dumped in county ditches. And they sent back a letter that they, how dare I accuse them of doing that? When you stand out there and it's 20 to 25 gallons a minute of sewage flowing through there, in a county ditch. And then on a personal level, I've had septic water and E. coli in my backyard for 2 years on a system that Gary Walker signed the permit on. And then they tell me they don't dump sewage in ditches.
Right.
So, you know, it's just sad that in our system of government at the county and state level, that millions of gallons are going on sewage, they're going into Vance Creek, into Twin Creek, and then into the Great Miami River, and nobody, all they want to do is create more government jobs and take my money. And the majority of the 280 some homes that they're wanting to affect, the majority of those homes, we're all retired people. So, you know, it's not right. And it's time to stand up to the EPA. And like I said in the past, you need to get a special counsel in there and apply it. Thanks.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Any more public comments? Okay, come on up.
My name is Leroy Banks. My wife and I own a business in West Manchester, and I'd like to address the assessment of the new tax. I talked to the gentleman.
Is this one of the ditches we're hearing today?
Yes.
Can you wait till we get into that hearing?
I certainly can.
Oh, no, that's fine. No, I was about to say, okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
We will be discussing that at 9:30, and then James will be here to answer questions. So that's fine. All right, are there any more generic public comments? All right, so we'll move on until 9:30. I will accept an approval of the minutes.
Move to note received, sir, approval signing the journalization, note received at the CD recordation, both of the official minutes for February 19, 2020 regular session meeting.
Second.
Any discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Yes. Financial considerations. Accept a motion to approve resolution 162. Reference moral obligation to various departments.
I'm going to approve resolution 162.
Second.
We have. From Veteran Services, vendor MVCAP, $1,850. From Coroner to vendor Montgomery County Coroner, $6,400. From JFS to the Council on Aging, $9,069. Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to approve resolution 163. Reference authorized payment, sheriff, $3,124.50. Veteran services, $5,520. Coroner, $2,145 and $8,000. JFS, $1,088.75 and $9,730.90.
Move to approve resolution 163.
Second.
Further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to approve resolution 164. Reference authorized expenditure, $25,650 for the purchase of rebar to be used on various projects engineered.
Move to approve resolution 164.
Second.
Further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to approve resolution 165. Reference authorized expenditure, $3,490.58. Purchase and installation of two access control units, JFS.
Move to approve resolution 165.
Second.
Further discussion? No? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. He just stays up here. We'll make him come to work.
Right.
Reference, let's see, accept and approval of resolution 166. Reference transfer funds, workforce development.
Move to approve resolution 166.
Second.
From workforce development, line item dislocated services, a debit of $12,000 to workforce development, Ohio Works incentive credit of $12,000. Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Correspondence and reports. Accept a motion to note receive a letter from the clerk of courts, promotion of Stacy Trentinella. Did I get that right? Deputy Title Clerk 2, Clerk of Courts.
Deputy note receive a letter from the clerk of courts.
Second.
Dear board members, please be advised that Stacy Trentinella's job classification is being changed from Deputy Title Clerk 1 to Deputy Title Clerk 2 due to extra duties, due to preparing Breon Reynolds for her future duties as clerk of courts. Breon is spending more time in the legal office. Mrs. Trantanella's hourly pay will be $12.53 beginning March 7, 2020. These funds are available in the Certificate of Title Administration to cover this increase. Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creed?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes. Accept a motion to note receiving and approved by citing personnel action, reference intermittent appointment of Tony Morgan, Social Service Navigator, JFS.
Move to note receipt of and serve approval by signing the action.
Second.
Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creed?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes. Accept a motion to note receipt and approve by signing a letter to all courthouse elected officials and department heads concerning the courthouse parking.
Second.
Let's see. Basically, this is a letter that we will be installing four handicap accessible spots. That parking stations number 1 through 6 will be removed to do this. We will be rotating everyone around, and this kind of just gives everybody their new parking spots. Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creed?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Agreements and contract. I'll accept a motion to note receipt and approve by signing an agreement. Reference 2020 resurfacing and pavement marking agreement with Barrett Paving Materials, Inc. $1,516,955.30.
Move to note receipt of and serve approval of the agreement by signing.
Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creed?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes. Accept a motion to note receipt and approve by signing an agreement. Reference 2020 chip and seal agreement with Ray Hensley, Inc. $273,647.58.
Move to note receipt and approve by signing the agreement.
Second.
Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creed?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to approve the following travel requests. Resolution 167, Paul Plogger, Sheriff FOJ, and Sheriff Professional Training. Detective Paul Plogger has requested permission to attend the REIT technique of investigative interviewing and advanced interrogation techniques on February 18th to February 21st. Cost not to exceed $1,435. Resolution 168, Commissioners Creech, Day, and Robertson Commission have requested permission to attend the Miami Valley Regional Planning Commission annual spring dinner in Dayton, Ohio on April 16th. Cost not to exceed $105. Resolution 169, Jim Ray, David Price, James Cottingham, Wesley Cole, and Charlie Housewright, engineer, I've requested permission to attend the Ohio Safety Congress and Expo in Columbus on March 11th and 12th. Cost not to exceed $238. And then Resolution 170, Heather Morton and Michelle Schaefer have received permission to attend the Preparing Children for Adoption and Preparing Children to Talk About Adoption seminar in Beaver Creek on February 23rd. Let's see, it doesn't show a cost, so it's no cost to the county.
Move to approve resolutions 167 through 170.
Second.
Further discussion?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes. Time is it? Still have time. I will accept a motion to note receipt approved by signing the vouchers reported at, voucher report is submitted by the county auditor.
So moved.
Second.
This is, yeah, I haven't seen it.
Further discussion? Kim, will you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes. Are there any additional items, Kim? A couple of them?
At 10:30, instead of Chris Washington coming in, that would be Luan and I.
Okay.
Chris changed his mind and Luan wanted to come down, so we worked out.
Okay.
I do have a couple ideas if you could do that.
We've got 5 minutes.
Another letter from the clerk of courts and then a resolution to amend compensation plan to add a position in the auditor's office.
Okay. All right, so I'll accept a motion to note receipt of a letter from our clerk of courts. Dear board members, please be advised that due to additional duties added to Breon Reynolds in the legal department, her hourly rate, her hourly pay will be $15.59 beginning March 7th, which is within her job classification. The funds are available and certificate of title administration to cover this cost.
Move to note receipt of the letter.
Second.
Any further discussion? Kim, will you call the roll?
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes. Okay, resolution 171, amending the county compensation plan to add, let's see, reflects an additional position in the auditor's office titled front desk coordinator, public service. So we're changing our compensation plan. It's resolution 171.
Move to approve resolution 171.
Second.
Any further discussion? Kim, will you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes. I just want to remind, if you're here for the hearing, just make sure that you're signed in out front on the, under the appropriate case. Anything else?
Well, you need to appoint representatives to the MVRPC. We've done yearly. We need an elected official, one of the commissioners, to be the member and then the alternate. So you'll let me know who wants to be the...
It's usually the president and the vice president, right?
Yeah, always has been.
That's fine.
I plan on continuing to go just because they deal with stuff that interests me, so I'm in.
Well, if you're the alternate, then...
I'm just saying, I plan on going because they, I get calls from them all the time. I've dealt with them 40 years.
Okay, so if you would like to approve the appointment of Denise as the member and Chris as the alternate, we'll get this completed and send it off.
Is it a resolution?
No, it's a form.
It's a letter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Letter, whatever. And we also have one.
Are we signing it?
Nope.
Okay.
You don't. I just need to appoint the, you to approve the appointment of Denise as the member and Chris as the alternate.
So moved.
Second.
Further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes.
And then there's also a technical advisory committee for the MVRPC. Normally that's been Kyle, Cross, and Tony McLean as alternate. So if you want to approve that, we'll be all done with MVRPC.
So moved.
Second.
Further discussion? Kim, will you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner
Yes.
Mr. Robertson?
Yes. All right. Might get more people. Just make sure you're signed in out on the clipboards. Especially if you're in the seat.
I'm trying to find the paperwork from the last.
Oh.
Here it is. Trying to be prepared.
So, Mr. Simmons, the meeting is all yours.
Thank you all very much for coming today to learn more about the maintenance switches that you own land on. I'm James Simmons from the Trevor County Engineer's Office, and this is a public hearing. It is being recorded. There will be a transcription of it later. At the end, after I'm done explaining all of the maintenance stitches, if there are any questions, if you could come up to the mic, state your name, and then your question, and then so that way it's easier for the person who has to try and transcribe it all to be able to put down exactly who's speaking and what their question is. Let's see. Firstly, I would like to go over some definitions and terms that we have. Right now, we are talking about basically all of these ditches in West Manchester are encompassed in the 850, which was the original petition for West Manchester. When I go over and I'm saying a watershed, basically this outlined area right here, that is the watershed, I'm saying, and Soil and Water agrees with me. We both did a watershed on this ditch. This is all of the land that's coming into this tile and waterway system that we maintain right through here. And then it goes all the way down to the other side of Georgetown Verona Road. It, all the blue is tile. And right here, where it turns red, that's where the tile finally outlets and turns into an open ditch. But when I'm talking about watershed, what I mean is anything inside that blue line is flowing into our tile systems. It may be slow, slower than we want it to be, but it is eventually getting there. A ditch can either be a subsurface tile or an open course to flow the water away. A storm sewer, which is not what this is just a tile that was put in to eventually help the water get away within 3 days after a normal rain event. There should be really no standing water unless it doesn't have a way to get to this tile. Any flooding events, this system was not designed for that. Sadly, it is not a storm sewer. It was not. It would have to be 3 times larger, roughly, of a tile system. And when they put it in 1980, that would have cost $1 million then. The landowners are got together, and this is who pays on this ditch. So basically, this ditch has a maintenance fund, and that's what our assessments are for. All of those papers you got in the mail is just an assessment fund, and it was established by the Ohio Revised Code. And kept for each ditch. So all the money that I assess you for this ditch goes to repair this ditch directly. It does not go to anything else. You have your own separate fund. So the landowners are paying for the fixes of this tile. And that was set up by the Ohio Revised Code. This is what we call a maintenance ditch review. And it is a process required by the Ohio Revised Code to ensure all the landowners owning land on a maintenance ditch are assessed a fair and consistent manner. This process fixes the permanent assessment based upon approval of the county commissioners. So, whether you know it or not, if you go to the auditor site and you click on your tax tab, halfway down the page, there is a drop-down box called Special Assessments. You have been paying on this ditch, on the 850. I know everyone has been paying on the 850. Most people, whenever I charge this ditch, pay about $2. Because that's the minimum assessment. If I assess it for $1,000 to fix a few pieces of farm tile, which we do have an upcoming event in Siler's Field, which is, I think it's this one right here.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Thanks. There is a tile breakdown in that field. We are required by the Ohio Revised Code once every year to inspect everything that we take care of. We found something this January when we inspected it. We will be out in Siler's Field to fix that tile so that this tile system can flow properly. Like I said, it is a tile system. Not a storm sewer. So it is not made to get rid of heavy rain events. It dries everything up eventually. Because like I said, something that you all want, I know there are many water problems in West Manchester. I have talked to many of the people who have water issues in West Manchester, and I try to help them as much as I can. But what I am responsible for, I can't fix anything other than that because I have to charge everyone in the town. And when they put this petition together, they agreed that I'm not building anything new, I'm just repairing what was put in by the petition. So I can't help with everything. A lot of the drainage underneath the streets is not mine. Basically, if you look at this tile right here, it goes underneath 127 and it goes up to right about here. Anyway, and that's where our maintenance stops. Let me grab what road that is real quickly. North Street. Right here, there's a catch basin right there that water comes into, and that is where our maintenance ends. We do know of some of the tile that goes up through here, so I put it on my map. But right there is where my maintenance ends on the 850. Now, like I said, all of your percentages have changed. Why have they changed? Well, the Ohio Revised Code says that I am to change them every so often. Why is that? Well, some of these homes, when this ditch was originally petitioned in 1850, were not here. You know, they were farm fields. And so they're not getting assessed more for having a house on it, they're getting assessed as farmland. And so I have to update this every so often. Like I said, the Ohio Revised Code says that I have to do it. So on your maintenance ditch, that's why you're here. It's not because there's some huge project that we have planned or anything for this. Like I said, right now, we are here to fix the existing tile and maintain it and make sure that it works and is flowing properly. And we had questions about that this last year. The mayor and a few other people got together and they questioned us. They didn't think our tile was working behind the ball field. We actually dug it down in a couple of places and opened the tile up, and it was flowing perfectly. There was nothing wrong with the tile. That said, the tile can't take the water. That's what the open water course on top is for. The waterway that's there is to try and get rid of those heavy rains. And we don't fix any of that except for what's behind the ball field there and then up this yellow line right through here. There's a waterway that kind of goes up through there and to the top here, because a lot of this farm water actually comes this direction. This waterway was put in to catch that and divert it from going into West Manchester, and it takes it around. And then there's a pond here that where water gathers behind the baseball field to kind of help alleviate some of when it does rain a lot. It's just an area that can kind of catch it, and then our tile does eventually take that water away. So that is what I'm assessing you for, is the repair of these things on the 850. It's not get charged if we don't have to do any work on these ditches. The only ditch right now that I am going to charge any money on this next coming year is the 850, because there's a tile broken in Siler's Field. We are going to go fix it this year, so that way that tile can continue to flow freely and take the water away. Like I said, if you have a flood, it's still a flood. And I understand that that's a problem. There are a few issues with some of the new tile that was put down on 127 that we're looking into. Hopefully it can be rectified to get water away from the homes and businesses directly on the south end of town. Now I'm going to go over the West Manchester 850 ditch, then I'll go over the 892, and then I'll go over the Harder and what it encompasses. The petition for the single county ditch improvement was sent in on August 14th, 1980 by the Village of West Manchester. The petition was to repair and replace the existing drainage ditches of West Manchester. Special attention was paid to the area west of US 127 and also the area south and east of the railroad tracks. So basically, this petition didn't really have a whole lot to do with the drainage in town. It was the drainage out of town. Basically, this subsurface tile that runs all the way down to the other side of Georgetown Verona Road, and that little portion of open ditch there, we keep that excavated and clean so that the water still doesn't build up and the tile gets stopped up. We just excavated a little portion of that 2 years ago because it was starting to try and dam up the tile. This petition is interesting to read. It has five final hearings for this ditch when they went to put it in, because a lot of different things were changing at that time. Basically, the water was being blocked in by the railroad. It was blocking all of the water from getting out of West Manchester, and there was no way for the water to relieve itself because there was a big railroad track there that was pumped up. During these hearings in 1980, why there's so many final hearings for it, usually there's one final hearing on a ditch, and they say, yes, we accept this into maintenance. And there were so many issues with this one, mainly because of railroad tracks and how to get through the railroad tracks. During this time, the railroad tracks went, the people who owned it went out of business, and they were eventually able to get that and demolish that section of trash because they sold it, and the commission bought it at that time. So they could demolish it and the water could have a course to get away from West Manchester. So that took a little bit of doing. Total cost of the repair at that time was $18,000. And like I said, that's just the tile east of the railroad tracks here. That at that time, that was all that was petitioned, because there was a ditch there. That ditch was put in 1895. pretty old at that point. A lot of the tile was broken down. So at that time, they petitioned us, and we fixed it.
James, what is the cost now that you're projecting that this ditch, the repairs in this ditch, are going to be, and how is that going to affect everyone's assessment?
Okay. Right now, there are funds within this ditch. We have to have funds to do these repairs. We're not technically allowed to take any of these funds, maintenance funds, into the negative. So right now, you have roughly $3,000 in this fund for us to do any of the repairs that come up. This year, to fix that hole, the projected cost with the tile that we have to purchase is right around $1,000. It's one day's worth of work, two guys, the backhoe, 20 to 40 feet of tile. I'm not sure what the specific is. And usually they don't know until they get down there, look inside the tile, and find out how much of it's actually broken. But right around $800 to $1,000.
So then is it just plastic PVC?
Mm-hmm. It's, right through there, I do believe this is 24 or 30 inch tile right through here.
24, I think, but it's 24. PVC, it's all clay tile.
Well, right now, it's clay tile. We'll be replacing it with. So that tile from.
So 1980, you guys
18,
put clay tile back
1890.
Well, you said 1895.
Yes. We placed portions of it at that time. That's what it was for. Some of it was, a lot of it was broken at that time.
Well, yeah, clay. Well, it lasts a long time.
It lasts a pretty long time.
But, you know, people back then probably didn't think about the ground movement and so forth. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes when we open it up, it's kind of a little squeaky.
Could you state your name for the record so she can make sure we...
Oh, I'm Bill Cripps.
Bill Cripps.
So that's what the original petition was not to replace all of that tile, but different sections of it that had a lot of breakdowns in it. But right now, most of it's doing pretty well. We only found one hole to fix on that, so that's all the charges that you're going to be charged for us to fix. If you will look, like I said, you can go to the auditor site, find your parcel, go to tax tab at the top, go about halfway down the page, and there's a little drop down box, and then you can select 850 on it, and that will show you how much that you pay. Everyone that I have talked to thus far that's within town, when the last assessment was, they have paid $2 to $5. That's most of the assessments that people in town are getting. And I haven't looked up the bank, but they get charged more because they're a commercial business. But we don't.
So are there any specific questions? Let's get specific questions for this ditch so we can move on to the next ditch.
Okay.
Are there any specific questions? If you have a question, come up and state your name so that we can, you know, move this. Come on up.
My name's Ed Thompson. The main question I have is, are all these assessments value of 35% of land value of your taxes? I mean, what amount are we using to, what is assessed? I think from what I'm looking at from my tax, last tax bill, what we have here is based off the actual land use bill, land evaluation, and then my particular case is $3,000. Okay, and that, and also, I mean, it appears to me, if I'm reading that right, that $3,080 in my particular case is right, I got a $4.04 increase on everything that you're doing here a year.
Mm-hmm.
I may be wrong, but
yeah,
I'll
let you know real quick. If anyone got the packets out there, okay. out there and there's maps out there by where you sign your names in. Basically, there's a sheet there called Review Benefit Adjustment Formula. That's the formula we use to determine how much someone will be paying on this ditch. And basically, it's reach times use times benefited acres. Okay, I'll go over that real quick. Reach would be all the way down here, that's going to be a reach of one. Now, it's basically how much percent of the tile you're using. So, anybody that comes in at a reach of one, I put one in that formula and we multiply it by use and benefited acres. So, five is halfway of what we maintain. So, right here is what we maintain on this dish. So, that would be right about the middle. The reach would be five. So, basically, like I said, it's based on the percentage of the tile that's used.
That's your percentage, though. What is the dollar amount that's based on it? $1, $10, $1,000?
Yeah. Okay. And then we're going to go over real quick land use intensity factor. So commercial businesses and roads get charged more because they have more runoff water typically with parking lots and larger buildings and roads, of course, but nothing can drain directly underneath of it. It's perfectly blocked by the road itself, so water can't just sink into the ground right there. It has to run somewhere else first. That gets roads, paved areas, and commercial and industry areas get charged a land use factor of 8 to 10. Urban residential areas is 8 to 6, which is everyone in here got either an 8 to a 6, unless you were a commercial business. And then rural areas, 3 benefited acres and above, and farm ground get charged 1 to 2, usually a 2, because unless it's a pasture. So I take how much you use, multiply it by what you use your land for, and then I multiply that by how many acres you own. And that gives the percentage that everyone pays. I don't go off with any other percentage. This is a fund that is set up that is completely separate from the rest of your taxes, that is just used to fix this tile. It's not used for anything else. It's not based on any of your other taxes. It's just how much of this tile you use, what you use it for, how many acres you have coming into it, and that's the whole formula. So where it says how much you're getting charged, the percentage, those letters that I sent out to you have percentages on them. If it says 0.50. If I charge that ditch $100, you pay 50 cents. That's for each $100 that I charge it for. So if you have a 0.50, if I charge it for $1,000, you would pay $5. When I have to do work on your ditch, I don't charge it unless I do work on it.
So do you do, if you had an outstanding balance, if you say there's like a $3,000 balance on this?
That's how much is in there right now.
In the fund, okay. Mm-hmm. And you need to spend $1,000?
That's our projected cost for this
right.
year.
So, right, so is there, does that mean there is a change for the homeowners for that $1,000, or does that $3,000 cover it?
That $3,000 will cover it, and I will be assessing that much the following year.
Okay, so to rebuild the fund.
To rebuild the fund, okay. To try and keep the fund in the same spot in case there are a lot of failures that happen,
okay.
We can go out.
So you would reassess the what you spend on the following year to make sure that the fund is solvent, you know, for the future.
Yes.
Okay, all right. So I just want to make sure everybody's clear that that that's how it works. Because it sounds like, well, you have $3,000 to spend that. So we have to keep the fund, you know, full enough in case there is a major repair.
Yep.
So, all right. So anybody else have any questions about? Okay, here we go. Now you can come up.
My name is Leroy Baggins. My wife and I opened a business approximately 3 years ago in West Manchester. Reason being, we tried to promote it, and if you've driven through West Manchester, you know that it needs a lot of improvement. Now, he's talking about minimum charges, but in a small business, minimum becomes a major charge. I disagree with this assessment, and I'd like to explain why. As a business, we are funneling sales tax into this county. And that's not been addressed here. You know, he's charging commercial higher rates. For example, I'm going from 0.26 to 0.89. On the second one, I'm going from 0 to 0.42. On the third one, I'm going from 0.13 to 0.23. Now, I petitioned the office to change the building from 3 addresses to 1, and they haven't done anything about it to try to reduce my... I'm a strong advocate of education. I prefer to see the money go to National Trails. The reason I'm a strong advocate, I spent 35 years at Tri-County North teaching. There are funds available, and I've talked to Mr. Davidson. I sit on the Ohio Farm Bureau Board, and there are funds that can be applied for. When I questioned him, he said that's not his job to look into those funds. Well, there are people that can look at waterway funding today due to the problems at Lake Erie. I think we should address all avenues first before assessing the local people. Now, if you drive down Main Street or 127, you know, they're tearing down the old funeral home / school / whatever. Fortunately, and after many years in talking with residents, they've opened the Dollar General. Cricket's Closed, or Carmella's, or whatever name you want to assess to it. There's no business there. The granary's gone. You know, the bank has done improvements. My wife and I have spent several thousand dollars in improvements at the antique store. But in order to continue to improve that property, we have to have funds. If our funds are going for ditch maintenance, how are we going to continue to make physical improvements on that building? You know, when it flooded, we were out several thousand dollars in maintenance costs to the front of the store. The door, one door broke due to flooding. Other door had to be maintained. You know, let's look at alternative sources prior to assessments. I'm also associated with another business just east of town that's been opened up that replaced one that closed, the tire company. You know, King's Tire Close. Let's promote businesses. I don't think we're promoting businesses by increasing taxes. You know, look at the alternatives. Yes, it takes a lot of effort. As a teacher, I expended numerous hours researching funding because the school did not have the financial dollars to give me in my program. They're out there, but it takes due diligence and hard work to get that money. I realize it's easier just to say, we need this money, assess it. But let's look at the bigger picture. Water is a large issue today. And there is funding, look at Lake Erie. You know, Mr. Davidson is working on issues with Lake Erie. We are being presented with state and federal monies, but we have to go after them. You know, My wife and I would like to stay in business and increase the business and the facade there in West Manchester. Mm-hmm. We can only do that with funding. We're working on private grants to help that business. But if we're constantly taxed, then we'll be forced to leave that building as it was empty for multiple years, and you'll lose this tax base along with the sales tax that you now receive from that business. You know, and there's several other businesses there in town that I'd like to see promoted. You know, if we look at the concept of food desert, Dark and Provo County are food deserts. You know,
in certain areas.
Where's our focus at? Increasing taxes, and we all have increased. I'm elderly, I'm 70 years old, so I have large medical bills. Do I have insurance? Yes, but I still have large medical bills. Let's promote business, let's not drive them out by increasing taxes.
Okay. Thank you.
Did you have a question for me?
I was just curious, what's the what you were paying versus what you would pay now? Do you know what the difference is in that?
I didn't figure that out. It's a detriment to assess in our economy, you know, businesses right now. You know, I want to promote and see more businesses open in West Manchester, not continue to close as they have. I mean, look at the old auto dealership. You know, it's falling down. Let's promote a fund to improve that. Let's finish tearing down the school or whatever. Let's put a business in there. But we're not going to do that with higher real estate taxes and assessments. I mean, Jim will tell you, I don't want to tell you my age, but he's a former student. That shows you how old I am.
I think you already told us you were 70.
But, you know, my wife and I took an old house that was dilapidated down on that. But I'm being charged an assessment for that as runoff. You know, that building's gone. Jim, am I wrong? Have I improved the facade there at West Manchester by cleaning that lot up? You know, it was sitting empty for years. You're now receiving tax dollars. At no time has that been addressed, that commercial property is filtering money to the county, not taking it away.
Okay.
And where in this assessment is that taken into account? It's not. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. All right. James? So, to question specifically for yours, and I really do think you need to work with James on this, but would it make a difference if his addresses were combined and all of that? Would it make a difference?
On valuation, yes.
Okay. All right. So I'll let you deal with the individual questions. Because we do, I think, as a board, we do appreciate all of the hard work that people put into, you know, the entrepreneurial spirit of America to create businesses, to take that chance, to, you know, to live the American dream, provide a service and a market for what people want to buy. We do appreciate that. And I am very aware that whenever we tax anyone, that comes out of their bottom line. So that, you know, we are aware of that. I think this might be a little bit different in that it's a fee to maintain something that's being used by the, you know, the area. I don't think it's a significant amount. I mean, if we were talking a sewer district, or not a sewer district, but what do you call it? The
storm
sewers, then you're talking millions of dollars, and that would be a real impact to the community. And not that, you know, any money coming out of your pocket is a real impact. But this is a minor, in the scheme of all of the taxes that you pay, this is a minor fee that potentially could cause major problems if it's not addressed. If all this runoff were to stop, they stopped the maintenance there at the where the ditch turns into, goes out into the runoff. That would cause a major problem for a lot of people, and including it looks like a major road. So, is that the road? What road is that? Yeah, what's the one that comes diagonally?
Oh, that's the old railroad.
That's the old railroad, okay.
Yes.
So, these fees, although, you know, they are fees and they're not insignificant, they do take care of a major problem. And this is something that is out of, years ago, someone decided that this was the best option, to petition the county to take over this. I actually like to see, I like to see neighbors, you know, especially the farmers, work out their own drainage problems and not petition the government to take over something that they should be, you know, controlling. But this was something that happened a long time ago. In the world of taxes and fees, it does exist, but it's not as significant as some of the other ones you pay. So,
I don't disagree, you know.
Well, I know.
But in a startup business, in a startup business,
I agree.
A dollar is a dollar.
I know.
And I have great improvements to do on this building.
I know.
And if you take this dollar away, I don't have the dollar for demands.
Well, when my husband and I own a small Christmas tree farm just south of Camden, in our first year of business, the state decided to raise the sales tax. And
correct.
We had to decide, okay, so do we raise our prices to reflect that? Or do we just bite the bullet and keep our prices the same, and then we cut into our bottom line? So
right.
It's a very real decision that you have to make as a business owner.
And I don't disagree with you. And the antique business is a tight business. You know, that's why, although it seems minimal to your engineer, it's major to a small business that's startup. And with the loss of businesses in West Manchester, you know, I'd like to see the commission focus on promoting new businesses and growth, such as Dollar General, et cetera, you know, and replacing, you know, as a small child, my father came to West Manchester to buy farm trucks. And that business gone, there's nothing looking at replacing those. So, I mean, I don't want to be a dead horse, but a dollar's a dollar.
No, I agree. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to the next. And while he's getting the next one, we do, as a county, we have economic development department that is promoting, retaining, and trying to bring in new businesses. We have a Convention and Visitors Bureau and a Chamber of Commerce that are all working towards helping startups and helping, you know, to promote business in the county. We realize, I think I can speak for these guys too, we realize how important small business is to our county and to our economy. Everyone knows that the small business is what runs our economy in America. So we are very aware, and we do our part to try to promote you know, businesses.
Okay. Basically, when we move on to the 892 petition, that West Manchester district was also petitioned for, by the village council and so the mayor. It was petitioned on July 6, 1987. It was petitioned for improvements to the ditch that was already there. Broomball construction was awarded the bid. 21-inch concrete pipe, and some 12-inch concrete pipe, and some 18. Most of this concrete pipe goes right through here on the east side of 127, back behind the ball field. That is where most of this concrete pipe was put in. Some of it goes in up to on the west side along the where the waterway runs. That's what that petition was for. So up to Orchard Street, and that's where that petition, the tile went on that petition. So when we work on tile in that area, that's when the 892 would get a charge. Like I said, if we don't work on it, you don't get a charge. We're just keeping it open and flowing so that the water, you do have an outlet. If there's not an outlet, then the water would be standing there.
There is water standing on this side of it, though.
Which side?
That side of it. The west side of it, where my house is located, is
can
on that side.
Real quick.
Come up and say your name.
My name is Bill Chris. And that's where my house is located, probably right, that's Orchard Street there, right?
Yep.
Oh, it's here.
Well, I can't see too many hours.
It's right about right here.
Okay.
And water, every time it rains, sits there.
Does it get away in about 3 days?
That sometimes it
if our tile.
Sometimes it just stays there for a while. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't live in the house, mm-hmm. You know, but I know that this field right here, mm-hmm. They have put tile, drainage tile in this field here, and that might be why we're getting so much runoff now than what we had before.
I can, we had already inspected this ditch for the year, but I can have people who inspect go out and check this portion again just to make sure that it is open.
Well,
like
I
said,
right
down
and then it kind of
cut that
back.
What is it?
These off right there. Mm-hmm. It's actually so from where they did the road. You did the road?
Yeah.
That's why the water's really not running off as quick as it should.
Okay.
All right, so that's an individual thing that I'm sure James and that department will look into. What's going on there?
Well, and just to clarify, the county ditch has a function. And if there's a water issue in the municipality or on private property, that doesn't even pertain to this ditch. Your job is just to maintain the ditch.
Right.
Not water problems.
If some people don't have a way to hook up to the tile, I will usually try and work with them, landowners and municipality, so that they can get drainage. If it's an issue I don't know about, I don't know about it. But if you talk to me, we can look at it and we can see why it may not be draining your tile. But with the heavy rains that you've had, they were floods. It takes a little while for this tile to get it away. The water is still standing within 3 days and there's been no rain. Then that means there's an issue. That means this tile is not functioning correctly, or it means that water doesn't have a way to get to our tile. But we have different areas, and a lot of right through there, it's pretty easy to check it, because we can look down a lot of the grades in the road where our tile runs and see if it is open and flowing properly. If it's backed up and at the top of the catch basin, look at this, while it was raining, a very hard rain, about a year ago, it did end up being close to a 100-year flood. When I looked at the catch basins up through these streets, my tile was flowing properly. So, if the water is not getting away, that means we need to find a way to get your water issue hooked up to this tile. Like downspouts or anything like that, if there's a large area next to the street somewhere, it may need to, you know, just have an auxiliary tile, a lateral is what we call it, come off of our main tile and go to that area so that that water can get into the main tile. But what I am responsible for and what you are paying for is when we work on this main tile. That is what this was for. This was petitioned so that West Manchester could have drainage. So I provide a tile in which anyone could hook into and receive the drainage. Maybe not that they need, because like I said, it's not a storm sewer. Most cities have storm sewers, which are three times larger. It will eventually, like I said, within 3 days, it should be dry in that area. That's how you know if this tile is working properly or not.
So are there any more questions specific to this ditch? That was the 892?
Yep.
Okay. All right. On to the next one, please.
Okay. And the last ditch is the harder ditch. Basically, the harder ditch is everything. All of the properties on the west side of 127 flow into this little portion right here of Waterway, and right where it goes underneath the road, 127 there, that is what's considered to be within the harder ditch. Some of you, most of you, if you're in town and you live on that side, you had a percentage of zero before. Basically, when Soil and Water put this ditch in, they didn't want to have to deal with charging everyone such a small percentage, because the largest tile size on this is 8 inches. It's never really had much of a failure. The only thing we've really ever done is do a little bit to this waterway to help it get to the culvert there on 127 where it goes underneath the road. So if we work on this waterway right here, that little portion of it, then everyone would get charged a percentage now, because their water did flow into that waterway. So then the water just was like, they could do things like this. Let's just do it with the farmers who wanted it and be done. They didn't include the town. I look at it and say, I have to include all the water that flows into this portion. I'm legally responsible under the Ohio Revised Code make sure that everyone gets charged their share of it. But unless we do work on this ditch, you won't get charged. Like I said, that's just the west side of West Manchester that pays on that ditch.
Okay.
there any questions about the Harder Ditch?
Anything specific to the Harder Ditch you want to discuss? Questions?
I'm Doug Thompson. I don't get it down very well.
Okay.
So you can hear me. That ditch was put in the late 50s, I know, because I lived right along there in the late 50s. And before that was put in, it goes from Walnut Street on the north all the way down the west side of town, across through and under. But there is no pipe whatsoever north of where you're talking about. Is that right, James? That strictly open ditch? As I recall it, that's all that's there. Everything north of where you're saying...
This waterway right here?
Yeah.
Yes.
What happened on the north end is open ditch.
Yeah,
well, that was really one of my questions. Where does maintenance become an issue when you've got an open ditch? And you're actually draining off that open ditch into those 21 inch or something that run east?
Mm-hmm.
East of this?
I mean, right here we have the tile line that we take care of, and as you can see, it doesn't specifically follow that waterway. So they kind of built like this waterway. Its main job was to try and stop the farm water from rushing into that side of town.
It did it because any time we had an inch of rain when I was still home in the 50s, we had 2 foot of water. Once they put that thing in, we never had a problem.
Are you maintaining
all that land, all that agricultural land is drained right towards
when you mow and spray those ditches, is that part of the assessment or is that something different?
Usually this one we don't maintain a whole lot.
Okay. On the ones that we do maintain, does that come out of this?
Okay. Yeah, we mow it, we keep it, all the rest of it. It's never been destroyed. I mean, it's just an open ditch.
Are there any more specific questions about the Harder Ditch? All right.
I guess I have one question. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people here. Evidently, we must have had a rain event where there was flooding up there. Is that what we're getting down
past
to?
Past couple of years, yeah.
Could you say your name? You don't have to. Go ahead.
My name is Galen Styler.
Just talk loud.
I'm kind of on both sides of the fence here because I do own the farmland where this ditch goes out of town, and I just recently bought some property in town here, so I know that property floods too. It's the first property going into town, and that water's been up into the garage there already, and I wasn't aware of that when I bought it, or we had had second thoughts, but as far as on the farmland, it is a clay ditch, but it's been replaced many times. It's with cement ditch, so it's probably a half cement by now. But the problem I've been told by the people repairing it, the tile doesn't break down, it blows out because there's simply too much water going through there. It can't handle all of it. And I've seen it raise up 2-3 feet shooting up in the air after a hard rain. So what we really need is a larger ditch to take care of all that water. And we solve a lot of problems. I was told years ago it'd be over $1 million to do that. So I was just wondering, is there any funds available government-wise for
to maybe do a bigger repair?
Yeah, if we got the proper size ditch and save up, and it would help everybody concerned. I know it's costly, but that would definitely help me being a farmer. So I don't farm, I rent it out, but when I was farming it, I'd have to wait in the springtime till somebody fixed the ditch before I worked the ground, or I'd have to work around it or something. We've had holes there big enough to bury a big dump truck in already. And not only that, but when it's blowing up, it's eroding ground around it, and it's the river going down through there, taking a lot of topsoil away. So these are all concerns I have being a farmer.
Well, and back to that, these ditches were partitioned back years ago to stop water coming from fields into town, things of that nature. And what has transpired over the years is because there's more asphalt, there's more roofs, there's more of this and that in communities, they become overloaded. Now, whether or not we can get some government, there's funds out there, and the engineer's office has done this several projects. That's something we just have to have a conversation with Kyle on, is where this is at in his importance, reference other ditches at this time, but to
to your point, it's going to be very, very expensive to go in and upsize that tile. And unfortunately, we can't expect those tiles to take more than they were designed to take. And that's the problem. You said it very well. You get blowouts because they're overwhelmed. The one thing to keep in mind in the last 5 years, the rainfall that we receive annually has gone up by 5 inches. Typically, it was 42 inches for years. Now it's 47 inches a year that we're getting in this area. So we're getting bigger rain events. And I'm not trying to make excuses, but I'm just trying to explain why these issues are happening. And you're no different than a lot of the other small communities that have a similar situation, especially, unfortunately, a lot of our communities were built in the middle of a waterway. And that's just the nature of what happened. But I think at this point, we need to have a conversation with the engineer and see where he's at on what the importance, where it's at on his many ditches, to see what we can possibly do to help you folks out.
Looking for funding outside, because obviously $1 million in fees is a whole lot different than $1,000 in fees.
However, after you got it in, you would eliminate all those costs of repairing.
Right.
There'd be a lot more people in this room if we did that.
The one thing you have to understand is when these were designed and put in, they weren't designed to take all the water that they're now taking. And it's just how things evolve. As Doug said back there, when they put that ditch in on the west side of town, that took care of the flooding from the fields. Everybody was tickled then, but over time, as we get more hard surface, more water drains in and it overwhelms it. So.
Well, and to Chris's point, not only are we getting more water, we're getting it all at once. I remember when I was a kid, you rarely got, a 2-inch rain was huge. And now we just hope we get 2 inches. I mean, there were some 3 and 4 inch rains last summer, and it's just, that's a lot of water, and it all comes fast. So, yeah, that tile's only so big.
So it is a discussion that we can have with, I'm sorry, I mean, a discussion we can have with the engineer. Like Chris said, we'll talk to him about that and see what we can find in funding. Because obviously, $1 million is not something that the homeowners in West Manchester can afford. So.
Well, in my mind, that is the heart of the problem.
Okay.
That would definitely get rid of water in West Manchester faster. That would alleviate my problem as a farmer out there.
All right. Well, we will put it on our list of things to talk to with Kyle. And are there any more discussion, any more comments? James, you have anything else?
Nope.
All right, well, then we will close this public hearing for the ditches, and thank you all for coming in. We are running a little behind, sorry, LaVon.
And Dave.
And Dave, yeah, sorry, Dave. Yeah, we're really behind in Dave's meeting.
Thanks for coming.
Make sure you sign in.
I had to change other points. It's a guy.
If you need anything, you know where we're at.
Next on the list is the new server. I received the new server, and I'm waiting on the solid-state drives. The solid-state drives are made in China, and guess where the coronavirus is? So it's kind of messed everything up. They told me that they are expecting it to be in by the end of next week, hopefully. If not, I'm going to see what they can do about it. Well, I'm not touching any of it, so. Maybe if they can't get it in by then, I'm going to see what they can do about trying to get something different. The thing I'm worried about is I can buy solid-state drives different from different manufacturers. The only problem is it wouldn't be covered under the warranty that I have, and I ended up buying a 3-year warranty along with that server just to make sure I was not going to have any problems. So that's why I'm waiting for something like that. LEPC, the Tier 2 forms are coming in. I've got 40 of them that are due by the end of this month, and I'm getting them put into the Cameo software suite, which is something that I can use if something should happen. I can go with a laptop over there. I can tell them what they have, how much they have, and where they have it. And so it's super important that these things get done, but it just takes time to do stuff like that. I presented shelter in place to 3 more schools. I have 2 left. One of them's already scheduled. The other one hasn't gotten back to me yet. We keep having a little bit of a problem trying to pick a date. And the LEPC annual exercise, I do have a contractor. I'm just waiting for him to get a contract to me so I can get it down here for you guys to sign it. I did have a meeting with the exercise committee for LEPC. They did approve this particular person. He wasn't the lowest, but I believe he's going to be the best, simply because he was an EMA director in Shelby County for a number of years. He was a state liaison with the state EMA. He has done probably 100 different CERC exercises, so he was definitely the most qualified to help out to be able to do what I need to do. This is going to be an EOC exercise, so I can't do it because I have to participate in it because it's my EOC. So, is there any questions on what's going on? Nope. Okay, CERC, don't have anything to report there, but we're getting ready to get into the busy season. Grants, I have completed the cash request for the 4th and 5th quarter. They were submitted 30 of January of this year for a total of $46,671.80. The only problem with that is that's about half of the amount of money that's more than what I actually get for an award for this year. So I've already spent a little bit more than half of my award, and I still have 4 more quarters to go. So I'm going to end up running out. But hopefully that will show them that I need to be put back up to where I was. And we'll go on from there. So any questions, comments? Nope. Okay.
Got it behind you. You've been wanting to do it for a long time.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Second.
Yes.
Yes. Do we want to rush up to the jail or see if he can delay it till 1:15 or so? Well,
yeah, we're going to do one or the other.
We don't have it for long. I gave you some stuff that was informational.
See if we can stop them after.
Yeah, or, you know, this repair stuff is just kind of a...
Well, let's see if we can do the jail later.
That's what I'm saying, the text real quick.
Are you texting him?
He's texting him.
the quickest way.
So isn't this the way, I mean, we talked about the EFAS. We talked about all this last week, right?
This is his official one. So.
Oh, this is the official one, okay.
I go back to my, let's get it repaired and then see what our long-term options are, because the repair is only going to be.
I agree.
$15,000.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, we just got to add the only thing though, like I said, I think we would want to take the EFAS repair plus the paint quote and add them together.
Do we have a quote on the paint?
I don't know. But because technically they're two in one, because if we paint that, you don't want to be going in 5 years. And I still think we ought to add the two together and compare them to.
I don't think.
What's that?
Yeah.
I mean, it may not be feasible, but at least we got something to make a decision on.
I drove by there, and it's pretty bad shape.
Oh, I know. It was bad 2 years ago.
So you're saying add the EFAS repair to what painting it's going to cost also?
Well, if we were looking at resurfacing it, you can't just look at the EFAS quote. You have to look
right,
at
to
paint,
the whole,
versus, paint plus
right.
EFAS versus new surface.
Right.
And if we could resurface it for 60, 80 grand, we're probably better off to resurface it than spend the 30 now and cover it up
so
in 5 years.
So do we have quotes for the painting portion?
Well, you have the ones for the roof already.
Well,
I'm looking at this proposal from Mid-America, which he's right, it's $15,390 to do the EFAS, but then there's exterior paint, which is another $10,000 and something. And then he also has painting the metal roof, windows, and doors. I thought the ones that we have previously or currently are just for the roof. So the amount that he quoted here for the roof, windows, and doors wouldn't be correct because we already have somebody we're going to have paint the roof. And I'm thinking Bob was maybe thinking he could get the painting done.
Why don't you get involved and find out for sure what we're doing about painting?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with Rodney. If we look at the total cost of EFAS repair and painting, and then our complete different direction to cover that building, that's what we want to compare.
Okay.
Then what the problem I think you're going to run into is time.
Right.
Something's got to get done because.
Right.
And then I agree with you guys, but if we can buy some time that's not too expensive, because I don't know the proper way to cover that up. I don't know how.
I bet they're going to tear it off.
I don't know that. See, and that's surely somebody out there has got an opinion of, because these are all failing because a lot of them went in at the same time.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it.
The exterior paint says power washing and painting the entire exterior of the old building. I thought the old building has EFAS. I'm pretty sure you don't want to
power
wash
it.
EFAS.
That's even
so
scarier.
You probably need, if you're going to power wash it, you're going to have to do it before you repair anything.
Well, you're going to create repairs, so yeah, I think we need to check into it at least. I mean, if it's not feasible, we can't do it. On something like that, I think I agree with Chris. Short term, if it's issues, that's causing quality, you know, water getting in the building or something, but on the outside of the building, we probably need to look longer term if time's on our side. I don't know if it would be or not.
I just don't know how you can box out around the windows and doors and do it. And, I mean,
yeah.
I know you can do it, but. It's going to take care of the issue, because sometimes when you try to put something on top of something, you can't seal it up. And they've already had water issues with some of those windows, I know.
So according to this quote from Mid-America, the EFAS and the painting is, what, 35?
36,000? Yeah. See, and that seems strange, because it says the metal roof, and that's about what we're painting with our top.
Well, I was just.
So I don't know what they're planning on.
I was just leaving off the metal roof thing because we already have somebody doing the roof.
Okay.
And
pick Bob's brain and see what it is.
Right, and time is of the essence.
And he knows that.
Sheriff, you're back with
me. And he knows.
Up the sheriff at 115.
Not yet, but he hasn't responded,
yet.
But that's what we'll plan on.
Okay.
about the COVID-19 outbreak. It's just basically came into my email. I'm passing it along. It has to do with the level of coronavirus.
Okay.
It seems to me like it would be something that really would make more sense going to the health department, but.
Right. Well, I mean, we may have questions from constituents about it. I think this is maybe a big $30,000 look at, or 30,000 foot look at it.
Yeah.
And how we may want to, you know, respond if we have questions.
So anyway, it will happen this Thursday. And if you're interested, I'll forward an email.
Conference call.
The
conference call. The
conference call. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll forward it on to you.
Yeah, forward it.
Make sure you see it. That's what I put it out.
Okay. What else you got, Kim?
I think you all got letters from the website.
Yes.
I have also provided to you a copy of the board's funding history to the Fair Board that we've done over the last 35 years. Some of the things came back where a note was gotten in 96. The rest of that's just been.
I guess two things. One, I checked with Michelle. She has said she is very confident after the research she's done that the monies would not go to them.
Yeah.
And so not only that, but if they're that concerned about getting the money that's not entitled to them, maybe we should try to get back the money that we loaned them that we wasn't going to ask to forgive. And the money from, I mean, I don't know why they're playing hardball. I mean, they're getting the tower money that technically I don't want to say that is supposed to go to the county. And I don't know why they think we're trying to take them on this. And we earmarked that money for the fairgrounds.
Right.
So we're not putting it in the general fund.
Right.
We put that $45,000 or whatever the amount was in general fund, and we want to use it towards the fairgrounds. So I don't get where that letter's coming from.
Right. And my big thing was, you know, I was going to have Kim, if this progresses, you know, how much do we pay, do the county taxpayers pay to insure everything out there? I mean, we pay probably, I mean, I don't even know how much money a year on insurance of those buildings out there. And then, you know, we've got the most recent contributions we've made out there. You've got $268,000 that we have put, you know, of public money out toward, you know, building out there. And then, you know, the grant that was given, you know, we put it all toward improving the fairgrounds.
Well, I think we know who's behind it, and I think we know why. And if you look at the Ohio Revised Code, they say proceeds generated. Well, an easement is not a proceed generated.
No, that's like if they take tickets.
We have never taken ticket sale money from, and never will.
No.
This, and so if they do, I guess my thing is, and I'm not, if they do pursue this, like I hear they're going to, we might have to look at drawing all funds back that they're not entitled to, plus asking for reimbursement for the monies that we've never asked for back. Technically, they're in debt to the general fund.
They always have been.
So I hate it that they're throwing little darts here because it's political and it's uncalled for.
You think it is?
It might be a little.
Is there a statement that you guys have been doing all this work without any of their input?
That's never happened. Not true.
Never have.
When we put the internet out there, which they received the benefit of the internet, the free internet because of the easement that the internet company, but we had meetings before they put the first shovel in the ground. I had meetings with the sheriff. I had meetings with the fair board. So they were fully in discussion for that. The expo center, I'm pretty sure we had lots of meetings before we started digging around.
They were invited to every meeting.
Right.
I remember Jim Shute in here coming in and talking and looking at stuff that was being done to the interior, the addition, and what he'd like to see and stuff like that.
Lots of meetings.
I can't think of one thing that's been done at that fairgrounds that they haven't been in the loop on. The only thing I could think of was when we put that cable in the ground, and they were still involved with that. They just didn't like it.
The cable, you mean the internet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They were upset about the Ethernet, but they knew about it. They just didn't like it.
You know what? That was a decision that we needed to make to help further businesses.
Right.
It was a county decision.
A good business in the community.
Right.
And you've got a multi-million dollar business that needs this, and I'll stand by that. They may not like it because they didn't get the money, but we've been through this multiple times since I've been here. That they always want this money, that money, they think they're in it. I can tell you, we've checked numerous times, we're not entitled to give them anything. The tower money's a bonus. We don't have to give that to them. It's county property. They have the right to hold a fair on it, whatever the higher value code said. But other than that, as you said, Rob, this is political. It's a bunch of BS. And if we have to, we'll turn it over, let the prosecutor take care of it.
But I do think that if they want to draw, and I'm all about, I think we've worked together really well. But if they do make a stance on this money that they're going to get back into the fairgrounds, I think we need to evaluate the money that we've already given them and the money that they're getting from the tower.
And the money we spend, and the money we spend.
If they really want to, if they really want to challenge the money that's going to the county fairgrounds or the county land that the fairgrounds uses.
Right.
They better be very careful how they go, what path they go down, because we've been more than gracious to them. And I think it's great. I mean, it's one of the best facilities in the state.
Yeah, it's very nice.
It would be nice if instead of fighting over everything, if they would work with us.
Well, and maybe increase the amount of events and not keep losing them. I think we just lost the third one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's unfortunately. Do we need to get Lincoln in here Wednesday and talk about this?
We'll have to see. She says she's got a trial on Wednesday, because I already asked her this morning to talk to her.
Let's see if we can get her in here.
Or as soon as she can, if she can't come.
Well, if she can't come, just get something in writing. I just talked to her, and she said, as of now.
Yeah, she said she was going to check some more, but she was fairly certain this morning that you know, there isn't.
I would like to get something in writing, but also get her in here.
Yeah.
So we're all on the same page.
I just wanted to be prepared for today. And I think with the information that Kim's provided and Michelle's got so far, I think that's all good.
Well, I feel really good about the amount of communication we've done with the Ag Society, with the changes we've made out there. And I think that a lot of the things we've done was with keeping in mind that they need to generate the money for events, which is where they get to keep that money. I mean, that's where they benefit, is using the fairgrounds to generate income for the fairgrounds and for their activities. So, I mean, I feel bad. I'm not okay with them. If they want all of the benefits, then they have to take the liability with it. The insurance alone, I'm sure, is a cost that they do not want to endure. So, all right. What else? Anything else?
Sheriff said 1:30 will work.
When does the parking go into effect? When did we?
This Friday.
Okay.
Everyone's supposed to start parking in their new spot on Friday.
I talked to the sheriff. I know Rod's had a conversation about
his spot.
About both spots out there, but it's, they're just going to have to everybody work together so that everybody can get in and out of the building. He understands it. I mean, and like I said, we understand you need to get people in and out, but we got to get maintenance guy to get in and out. And he said, we'll make it work.
If we had extra spaces, it wouldn't be a big deal, but when you're short on spaces, it kind of.
He totally understood what was going on. Yeah. And I said, it's a communication thing from your office, the front desk, and maintenance.
Yep.
He gets it, so we'll make it work.
Good.
Do you want us to hand deliver those memos so that we know that people are.
Yes, please.
I would strongly suggest that.
No problem.
All right. Is there anything else, Ken?
I do not think so.
Rodney? Wait, Kim?
No, I was just curious. How did the Indigent Defense webinar thing go?
I didn't make it.
I sat in on that, and I am feeling much better about, because I think they're going to mandate $50 an hour, which if we're there. They did say that not everybody, let's see, how do they put it? There are certain realms, and I don't know, I didn't go out and click on our part of the map yet, but in certain departments, say for juvenile, they're not at the 50. Okay, so, and I don't know if we are or not. So in certain areas,
across
the board. Okay, so then we're okay.
Yeah.
And then they're going to mandate that we go to 60 the following year.
Who's they?
Well, they suggest, I don't know if they can do it through.
I don't think they can mandate it.
This is the public defenders, and they could go through the ORC.
If you don't go up to 60, then they can choose to reduce the amount of reimbursement that they're providing.
50 to 60 is not bad.
So right now they're at 80. What is it? I can't remember the percentage. They're doing their percentages sliding up, and they expect to be at the 90% next year.
3 years.
Well, so 3 years.
I think.
Here's what happened to CCO on Friday. We officially took action to not support them, public defender, changing these fees, and that we would further, since public defenders into defense have been funded here, we strongly are urging the legislature to fund it 100% and the state take it over 100%.
Right. Then that is the angle.
And we don't have to worry about it.
That's the position CCO took on. We had a discussion on it on Friday. And
is John there?
Basically, that you funded it here. If you funded a little bit more, then you guys take it over and do whatever you want with it and get us out of the loop.
Make us the middle people.
Right.
Right.
So the public defenders, by statute, they can change the rules and play with them, but. Hopefully, by us taking the stand and pushing this out to the legislators, they'll get a little pressure on and just leave it alone, and maybe we can get a fix in this another year or two. So that's what transpired on Friday.
I mean, I see that there's arguments on both sides, you know, as far as raising it. You're going to get in an attorney that may
right.
be able to speed up the trial and save money. But at the end of the day, this money is not pass-through money. They're not even giving us what we're paying, let alone, you know, people think we're getting a raise when all we're doing is getting back more money that we already gave them.
Right.
So that's just, but yeah, 60 would be doable. So it'd be next year they would make us good 60, or
they'd
be
60. They would.
They haven't changed anything.
They haven't changed anything, yeah.
That's what they're fighting
but they're
for.
But they're pushing that, you know, they're pushing everyone to get to 50.
Just doesn't that have to go in front of, but it's in the OAC, so they can just.
But the Ohio Public Defenders has the ability to set the rates within that.
So
there's a clause in there that they have the ability to set those, and it's kind of a.
Well,
so they got their own court order.
Yeah.
So
well, they should take good care of themselves.
They've never exercised this, but they're willing to do it now. And one of the big things that statements that were made on Friday, and hopefully those go up to the legislators, is that we fought to try to get the money that we've been paying out already, and then they saw it as a money grab to get a raise, is wrong.
Right. And so they're pushing everybody to get to 50, which we're there already, so that's not a problem. Then the following year, up to 60. Even at the 60, with the funding that has been approved already, that's in the capital budget, we will be fine. They said that the only, the counties that would have a fiscal hardship would be able to, they can apply for a waiver, and they can push back on this and not have to comply if they can prove that there's a hardship to comply. But even at the 60, they said that they have more than enough funding for the following in this budget at the state level. But that was the push, was the 90%. If we're at 90%, how about you just go that additional 10%, and then it's your baby, and we don't have to bother with it.
That's what the message is going to be sent on this.
So is CCAO the message to us to just sit on it for now?
The 50?
Well, we're at the 50. We don't have to do anything for 50.
For right now?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, James.
In the next 2 months, the legislative platform is going to be developed.
Okay.
And that's one of the... When we take things back to the board, prioritize what we want to see, our big ask is, instead of, they always give a policy book with 500 things, they finally figured out, ask for two or three things that are
right.
Doable.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's what will be developed in the next couple months.
Okay.
We actually have a meeting.
So it could be a moot point if the CCAO pressures the legislatures to take it over completely.
Don't you find it interesting that they went from telling us that everybody can go up to $75 an hour and there'd be sufficient money to that? Now they're going, well, do 50 this year and we'll just go 60 the next year. Kind of seems like that $75 thing is not a doable amount.
Right. Yeah, I didn't hear any, not one time did I hear $75 on the webinar.
I think that once, if CCO takes a hard stand and continue to push this, then I think they'll probably be asking for letters of support from each county.
Okay.
Or at least letters of support to our state rep and our senator.
Yep.
We're a ways away from that.
Okay.
I think the big push will be coming up to something, sitting down with the governor on this, lieutenant governor.
Well, and like I said, hopefully that's the direction it actually goes, but they did say, because one of the big questions is always, because they did say at $60 an hour, there's plenty in that fund that's been allotted that we should be okay. But one of the big questions is, well, what happens when that money goes away? What happens when they say, oh, this much is approved, that much is approved, and there were no guarantees. I mean, he said, we can't guarantee anything. Like, that's, we know. We know that. So.
Well, that's why if it goes back to the state, then they have to do it.
All right, so anything else? Chris, you want to talk about anything? You have anything?
No.
Rodney? Okay. Make the motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Kim and Paul and all?
Commissioner Breach?
Yes.